Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
My hands are like on her waist, holding on for dear life. I am like, I will be a straight man with a wife and children.
Welcome back to That's a Gay Ass Podcast, the podcast that asks, whose fault is it that you're gay? This is your host, Eric Williams. And I've got news. It's not good. Unfortunately, my therapist just revealed that I have to find a new one. He said, quote, it's just too much. I'm kidding. I'm not like unfixable. It's that I got this therapist while I was living in New York. And then I guess like COVID laws were like, yeah, if your person moved to a different state, we'll look the other way. But now that COVID is over, question mark? He's had to tell me that, no, time's up, kiddo. And he's being so sweet. I don't want to paint a picture of my therapist being a villain because he's not one. He is giving me 8 weeks to like ramp down our sessions and then embark on a journey of finding a new one in California. Does LA have therapists? I'm nervous. I adore him. And I think because I was broken up with my past therapist who I was with for 7 years, I'm much more resilient through this breakup. If you don't know this, my previous therapist, Fran, who I still love despite everything, she, after 7 years, told me that she was retiring, which I was like, girl, how old are you? She said 78. I was like, oh shit. Okay. Yeah. You need to take a rest. Our last session was the week after that. So I had the whole week to be like, oh my God. And then our next session was the last one. I walked out to the subway in Union Square, weeping on the street while skateboarders were jumping over my corpse. And then I did not get a therapist. Keep in mind, I did not get a new therapist for like 7 or 8 months after that. And keep in mind, this was like 2 months before I got married and then a few months until the pandemic started. So I was raw dogging the first many months of the pandemic. Cut to, 5 months in, and I was like, enough is enough. I am drowning. And so I finally got this therapist who ended up being a straight man. Ugh, I know. Did you gasp while listening to that? I was trying to find a gay therapist at the time, and this guy's website said he was like LGBTQ affiliated. I was like, perfect. So while we're on our first phone session, I was like, and you know, that's why I wanted to find a gay therapist. And he was like, beat, 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 I'm not gay. I was like, but he ended up, I gave him a chance, and he ended up being the most thoughtful, validating, sweet, straight man. So ladies, they're out there. He's married, I think, but they're out there. Thank you for supporting me on that therapy journey. I also have my first appointment with my California psychiatrist coming up. We'll see if she thinks my meds are the right dose. Stay tuned for that future segment of Me, Myself, and SSRI. But this week's episode with Nick Lehman, I got a text from Jonathan, my amazing producer, who was like, Nick's episode, you guys have a pretty good connect. I was like, yeah. From the second he logged in, I was like, oh, this is good. So I want to thank Nick for coming on. He is such a good guest, and also being so hot and so kind and Jewish. It's checking off all of my boxes. If you are interested in the Patreon bonus episode that came out this week, it is about Love is Blind Season 2. I am hooked, if you saw me post on Instagram. So we deep dive into the couples on the season. I'm halfway through, so you'll get my current perspective, but I'm very much binging the rest of, like, literally today. So go to patreon.com/gayasspodcast. The link is in the show notes for that. And right now I'm doing $5 a month. I'm going to give you a bonus episode every single week. And that will be a nice little perk for now as we continue to grow it. Tell a friend you like this episode. If you want to give us a review, that would mean the world. And enjoy, girly. Everyone, hey! Listen, Nick and I could gab for hours already. We're 2 minutes in and I feel like we've known each other for decades. Welcome to the podcast, Nick Lehman. How are you?
I'm good. I was just talking, I was going on one of my stress walks, like listening to my podcast, you know, just bouncing around, bouncing off the walls. I'm just kind of leaning back into the pandemic and realizing, you know, Truly. This is it forever.
And it turns out you were saying that one of your walk listens today was the That's a Gay Ass podcast itself.
Mm-hmm. That's true. It's true. It's true. I just stumbled upon it. It was my top podcast. No, I was listening to the wonderful Jared Goldsmith and Lauren Reed. And just,
oh,
you know,
my God, we love them so
stretching,
much.
Stretching, prepping, getting ready, you know, as the gay man that I am.
Truly. I used to get mad at Matt because he would be a classic man and on work calls, nary a headphone to be found. Mm-hmm. A speaker was on full blast, mm-hmm, emanating throughout the hallowed halls of our home. Mm-hmm. And so finally I was like, wouldn't it be fun? Here's an idea. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be fun if we plugged in a jack to the computer and then you had an AirPod that then made me not hear everything. Mm-hmm. So he's now overcorrected in a way that's like, I can only be thankful for. He now wears headphones, but mm-hmm, now he only wears headphones at all hours of the day, right, listening to podcasts. And mm-hmm, so now I'm wanting attention.
Right. So now he's married to the podcast. It's a classic. That,
exactly.
That's what always happens. My mom, my dad were exactly the same. My dad is like the loud Jewish man who takes every single phone call and he's on phone calls all day long. I'm like, I don't even know who you're talking to. I know these are all fake people. And he would just scream into the speaker. And he's also deaf in one ear. So it's like, you know, it's very, very loud. And
my mom, Jew, that's a double whammy.
Yeah, I know. We're really just like the windows are shattering over here. But no, my mom got him AirPods, which he calls earbuds, obviously. And finally, after a year, he finally put them in. But now what it is it's just like, we don't hear the other side of the call, but like, it's even louder. So wow. I can tell you every single thing that's going on in his life. But I couldn't tell you what's going on in my life.
Mm-hmm. Are parents misnaming things? Is it a universal parent thing? Is it a Jewish parent thing? Where does it lie?
You know, it's so funny because my mom's dad, who is Irish Catholic, he mm-hmm misnames everything. Like, so like, but you know, when he came to my bar mitzvah, he called the kiddush a quiche. You know, it's like always stuff like that, which also, by the way, delicious.
A, delicious. B, like Jew on Jew on Jew.
Yeah,
that almost makes
exactly.
It. It's like you're misnaming the Jewish things with another Jewish thing.
Right. But my dad always used to like make fun of him for doing stuff like that. And now my dad does it all the time. Like he called Mayor of Easttown Midge of Bridgerton. you know, AirPods, AirBuds. I mean, it's always stuff. He also, like, my dad knows all my friends so well. And you know, he remembers every detail. He reads every book. He reads every single newspaper every single day. Cannot call people by the right name. Can't name his niece or my niece, his niece, my cousin, Kate. She's Katie. She's never been Katie, but she's always Katie. But she's never
How
been
you
Kate.
Doing, Katie? Yeah. It's yeah, good exactly. to see. She's like, my name's Kate. Yeah, my parents, I've stopped in a way naming my friends in any story because I know it won't carry any weight in their
right.
minds.
Right.
And so they'll be like, your friend. I'll be like, so we're going over to, and then if I say the names, I have to sometimes remind them of context. I'll just be like, right. we're going out with friends.
I'm like, I'm hanging out with that person who I always complain about, who I don't really like, that you always ask me about.
You know the person I hate? That's really annoying. Yeah, we're getting
like, oh, yes, yeah. And then they still misname them. And I'm like, no, that's exactly the one I'm talking about.
They're like, Brenda, you're like, it's Marjorie.
Sure. Yeah.
Although, in what universe are we hanging out with Marjorie? I went to
high school with Marjorie and she was a Marjorie. I mean, like she was like sophisticated, like, but she was like plucked out of the 20s or the 40s. I don't really know.
She was either
from the Crucible or the Conjuring. I don't really know.
Oh, we're going way back to the Crucible.
Yeah.
We're going to the 1720s.
Yeah, apparently I thought she was a witch.
Listen, I've been to Salem and I said to myself, I was born in the wrong generation. I wish I was a witch being hung in this very town.
Right, that's like every single gay person watching American Horror Story Coven and was like, this is who I'm meant to be. I'm supposed to be one of these witches. And meanwhile, if I showed up and knocked at the door, they'd be like, you're at the wrong house. So you get out of here.
I know. But you know what? Ryan Murphy, I think, will be very excited to cast you in something in the near future.
I mean, I'm just looking at myself in this Zoom screen, and it's like, have you seen that picture of like all the white men with the brown hair? It's just, this is, I really like
Cheyenne Jackson, Matt Bomer. Although
you make me a little bit older and give me a little bit more facial hair, a little bit more bone structure, and I am going to have so much money in a couple of years.
I mean, from your mouth to Kanisha's ears.
Right.
Do you, I find that your facial hair is really gorgeous. Do you, what's the routine? Do we naturally look like this?
I do have a routine. Everyone knows. It's so funny because it's like, I have such a routine. You know, the name of my third book, which is not written yet. I haven't written the first two either, but the name of my third book is A Constant Scruff, because that's what I always have. But it's really not anything that's special. I pull out my Philips Norelco every Monday night. And I do the three, you know, up at the top and like down at the bottom. And then I do the two a little bit in the midsection of the neck. And then I do the one around the sides and on the cheeks. So I don't have all those like random little like hairs popping out. And then I grow it until the next Monday. And then I do it all over again.
Oh, it's weekly.
It's weekly. It's just once, it's just once a week. But if I let it grow a little bit too far, I got pubes all over my face. It's little too
puberty. Yeah. It's pubes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not, I don't have that like hot, like straight 5 o'clock shadow. I have that like, just like my hair, if it grows a little too long, the Jew comes out. It's an absolute afro on my face.
I love this so much. The Jufros are coming out, and I feel like we have such a connection here. I mean, this podcast really embraces all people. But we lean towards Jews. I think we do. My beard, when it grows, it's not puby, but it's more like it's not lumberjack. It is rabbi, and it's not it's not Brooklyn like 2022 rabbi. Mm-hmm. It is Williamsburg 2022, like specifically Hasidic.
Right. Yeah. No, I know that beard well. I remember when I was on the Bima at my bar mitzvah, my rabbi had just eaten like a smoked salmon right before, and it was like stuck in the beard, and I was just about to become a man. And I was like, I'm always just going to remember this man's breath as I became the man that I am today, which apparently
capers as well. Capers and smoked salmon.
I know. It was a full bagel spread on his beard.
If people bring up their bar bat mitzvahs, we have to ask about themes. Was there a theme at yours?
There was a theme. I actually just found all these, all my bar mitzvah the t-shirts made on customink.com. I made them myself. The theme was Nick at Night, not Nickelodeon, but like a nightclub.
Oh my, but was it a play on Nick at Night, Nickelodeon?
It's like, you know, I made sure, I was like, we can't have any orange. I don't want anyone to think this is Nick Jr. or anything related to Nickelodeon. Like, I am my own self. And it's funny that my parents like helped me pick that theme, because they really leaned into the like, oh, Nick's going to be drinking and going out a lot as an adult and be a gay man, just like hitting the club.
It's full circle. So yeah, Nick
bar mitzvah really set the tone for my 20s.
So the logo for Nick at Night, it couldn't have been orange. So was it? It was leaning into more of the nightclub fantasy.
It was like I had already had this custom ink layout of a white shirt with a black neck and black sleeves. Which before I had just moved the design. I wanted to buy a T-shirt. My favorite show was Lost on ABC, and there was this like really expensive shirt that had the numbers of the hatch. It's 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42, and my mom was like, I'm not spending, you know, $55 in a shirt that just has numbers on it. So I bought one on Custom Ink. And then for my bar mitzvah, I just slapped a disco ball with the words Nick at Night over it. And
she,
you know,
is the
designer
first and foremost. Yeah. I actually was also looking at your Twitter. You posted a picture of you like freak dancing as a probably around 13-year-old. And it really, I mean, it was A, brave of you to post. B, so vulnerable. And C, it really triggered me, because who among us did not hit puberty devastatingly hard? And listen, I think you were gorgeous then and you're gorgeous now, but you did have a certain je ne sais quoi. I mean, there's just, first of all, can we talk about freak dancing to begin with? The fact that we call it freak dancing, the fact that we are forcing young teenage, early teenagers to press their buttocks against a very young person's crotch area and then simulate, I mean, we'll be real, it's simulating penetration.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It's 100%. And with all adults just staring and like either clapping or looking away, but just also scared. I mean, I, in that situation too, was like one of the adults. And I also knew that's like, I was like, wow, I really am as gay as I think I am, because I remember just the idea of doing it. And first of all, I was like so degrading towards women, but like all my girlfriends, because of course they were all girlfriends, they were like loving it. And I was like, I remember being like, I have to do this. I have to prove myself. But every time a girl wanted to did it with me, it was like a joke. And people were like, yeah, Nick, like, get it, like that kind of thing. So that picture on my Twitter, which, you know, someone took on one of those like pixel cameras, like, of you know, course. The girls bringing them out and taking like 3,000 pictures every night. And I remember being so glad that someone took a picture of it, because I was like, there is proof. And you can just see on my face, it's with my very good friend, Charlotte. She is, you know, my hands are like on her waist, holding on for dear life. I am like, I will be a straight man with a wife and children, and just the most taped on smile and like glow in my eyes, because I'm finally like, no one is ever gonna believe I'm gay now. And let me tell you,
listen, the name of your fourth book is gonna be Fake Confidence, because I think that's what a lot of us probably felt in those times of just like, okay, I'm passing in a fleeting moment of happiness, and then quickly, for me, it was quickly back to devastation, like, and also I think I go back to the time of like having crushes on girls when really you just felt a closeness to them. Like, I have a friend that one of the only friends I still stay up connected to from high school, I thought I had a crush on her. I just like was jealous that she wasn't going to see Bring It On with me in theaters and she was hanging out with her boyfriend. Like, I didn't have a crush on her. I just wanted more of her time.
Right, exactly. It's like I was already spending so much time with like my girlfriends, but this is also at a period where they wanted to like get boyfriends and like spend more time with guys. And I was like, I have a crush on you because this guy's treating you like shit. It's like, no, I don't have a crush on you. It's because I want to be around you more. And like, oh, the ways that I would let girls know that I had crushes on them are so bad. Like on AIM, like, you know, oh, I like someone. And then you talk more about who it is. And then eventually I'm like, guess who it is? It's you. And then they like, you know, the door slams on AIM and they like are like, gotta go do math homework.
I forgot the door slam was the way that you sign up. Ga-dunk.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's the closet door slamming every single time. Me about to step out, but it's closing shut.
Wait, there's something there, Nick. There is something there.
There's something there. I'm writing that down.
Draft her. I mean, it's so, the kids today have a lot more to deal with, I think, because of all the social needs, but I think AAM was its own special hell. Speaking of, though, Matt and I just, and I'm ashamed to admit this because I'm literally, a year late? We just started Euphoria season 1 because it's all people are talking about, and it's a struggle for me to watch that show because of like how the drugs are being used, how I envision children today, and then of course I egotistically think about what am I going to tell my kids when they pick up their own friend's urine to do the drug test, and I'm like, I don't think my kids are going to be cool enough to do drugs like that. But then again, I don't want Euphoria to be telling kids that drugs are cool, and drugs seem cool on that show.
Well, that's the thing, is that with Euphoria, and especially now that season 2 has started, and I will not give any spoilers, but I think it is, and it even gets better. It's just like, it's such a masterpiece, like stylistically, visually, like the cinematography, the costumes, the acting, it's so amazing. But first of all, I think I went to a pretty like out there, crazy party high school. That was not happening. And I don't know. I also don't know if like, you know, 40, 30, 20-year-olds writing about like Gen Z, 16-year-olds. Like, I don't know. I'm on TikTok a lot. I watch a lot of the like Gen Zers talking about Euphoria, and they're like, this is not our experience whatsoever. I think the funniest part about it, though, is that like adults who are like 40, you know, 30s, 40s and have kids now are like, oh my God, this is what my kids are doing. Meanwhile, their kid is just like in a pandemic in bed and hasn't talked to a friend in like, you know, 4 weeks.
Listening to
like
the cast recording of Hades Town. Like, we're good.
Right.
Yeah. Right. I hope that you're right. And when I was watching, I was like, I was picturing the 45-year-old writing Zendaya doing what she was doing. And I think you're honestly making me feel better, because I don't want that to be the case. I really don't.
No, I also think it's like, I consider myself to like understand socially and like in a party situation how to handle myself, like how to have a good time, like, you know, whatever. If I walked into a Euphoria party, it would be so embarrassing. It would be me on the dance floor again trying to grind with a girl. That's what it would be. It would be me trying to force myself into the situation to look cool, and I would just look like such a dumbass.
You know what? It's so funny when like we get triggered in our internalized homophobia. I watched someone's TikTok recently. It was like a comfortable gay guy with himself. And he told a story that he was at some club or something. And some girl asked him if he had a girlfriend. And instead of just being like, no, like, that's not who I am. I'm gay. He went, he just like immediately dropped his voice and went, no, what's up?
Yeah.
And then he was like, I don't know why I immediately started flirting with this girl. He was like afraid to tell her. And I still I'm not proud of this, but I think I still saying the word husband is still in some scenarios a little tough for me. And it's not that it's tough for me, it's that you just don't know who the audience is, and so you have to make that decision. Am I going to bring up the possibility of getting a brain bashed in, or is it like you're just overreacting and like this Starbucks employee is not gonna care?
Well, you never know. I mean, I was in my apartment a week ago. There was a task rabbit over, and I of course did not know how to build my credenza. I mean, you'd think a gay man, the one thing he could build is a credenza, but I of course had no way of knowing. But the task rabbit immediately upon entered asked if my roommate and I were married, and we said no. And then he turns to me and he goes, are you gay? And I said, yeah, I'm a homosexual. And he goes, you shouldn't tell people that.
What?
True story.
And wait. You need to set the stage. I was like, girl, you asked. First of all, you asked. Second of all, why did you ask? Third of all, you asked. Okay, so I need to know everything. First of all, less important of the story, where is a credenza from?
The credenza is from IKEA, but they apparently have more. This Task Rabbit, who also was a Bitcoin expert, a producer on YouTube, took acting classes, and thinks that Romania shouldn't be considered Europe's butthole. These are all things he said. This is also while I'm like, girl, aren't we supposed to be working right now? Like,
come on, chop, put part A into part Z. Hello. Wait a minute. First of all, there's so much to discuss here, because I'm putting a pin in a story I'm going to tell you about. Just like when we're talking to people while doing their jobs, the craziest things come out. However, this task rabbit, he walks in, he's clearly straight, clearly a jack of no trades, but doing one at this point. Does he immediately ask you the questions about, does conversation start and then he asks you if you're gay? Like, how did it come up?
So it's actually, you know, it's kind of a sad story, because it's obviously like something that is a little off here, because then also after he had told me that, asked me, I said, well, why shouldn't I tell people I was gay? And he was like, well, I used to be gay, and then like I got attacked for being gay and I'm not gay anymore. And I was like, oh my god. Do I need to, what, should I run out of my own apartment right now?
My jaw is dropped. This story gets even more and more tangled.
It was jumping from one thing to the next.
So he's born again?
It sounded like there was some like sticky stuff in there, and there might have been some sort of like argument that led to him forgetting that he was gay. I don't really know. Basically, all I was saying to him was, I was like, look, babe, if we're stepping into like conversion therapy territory, if you're saying like this worked for you, like just like, let's like hush about that. And that's like not a thing that you should be spreading, especially when you're building credenzas in West Hollywood.
Hello.
But no, I mean, it's just the roller coaster of the conversation, and then it especially leading to the point where he saw me and he was like, you know, you're a very attractive guy, and like it's great to hear you're an actor, and like you're pretty fit, but like you could be more fit.
Jesus Christ, this is nightmare after nightmare statement. I mean,
I do have to say he built an amazing credenza. I have to say that, but I don't know.
Drawers are coming in and out. Listen, you know what? Ultimately, what I really hope is that this task rabbit finds peace. I hope he finds some peace, and also stops telling gay. First of all, stops asking people if they're gay, and then second of all, stops telling them to not answer that question. Truthfully, I don't know what I would have said if he was like, "You guys married?
Yeah.
Oh, so you're gay? Yeah. You shouldn't tell people that." Okay, you're in my home. I think I can maybe tell people that.
I know. It was a little bit like, you know, my roommate's texting me and she's like, I can't believe this person's in our home. And I honestly was like, I have never met anyone like him. This is just, you know, I was like, this is character study. And then by the end of it, you know, he was like, oh, like, let me help you take all the boxes out. And we were like, you know what? We can do that. Don't even worry about it. 5 stars. Please get as far away from our home as possible.
Can I ask you a toxic question?
Please do.
Nick, was he cute?
I can safely say No.
Oh, thank
but,
God.
But also, he was, of course, serving the entire time. I was like, but the minute he walked in, the reason that I felt comfortable telling this man that I was gay was because I was like, oh, this is a gay person. This is a gay man. But I guess he had other plans.
I mean, I think we can confirm that he is, but I don't think right. he necessarily knows. Wow, wow, wow. Well, you know what's funny is, like, talking about the euphoria thing and the teenagers, I was reading through your Twitter and you have so many funny things about when you're a dad inevitably, and it's really been hitting me hard because I want to as well have children, but I want to say one of the ones that you had was my favorite is you tweeted, "When my husband and I have kids, as a bit, when they're old enough, I'm gonna sit down and tell them I'm gay and then cry once a year." I think coming out to your kids when they know that you're already gay is so beautiful. And I want to ask, do you ultimately, how many kids do you want?
I'm like toxic in the way that like I want like what my parents have. because like I've loved my situation. I have an older brother and I have a younger sister. And of course I'm the middle child and I'm the gay child. And I'm, you know, whether or not I am, I love to think that I'm the center of attention, which, you know, often I am and usually I'm not, but I really try to maneuver my way to be.
Of course.
I think, you know, no, to any listeners who are single children, I'm, you know, anyone, I totally support your choice, but your choice to be an only child. I just, you know, I would have wanted like a sibling or someone to like hang out with, like, you know, when, or like someone to gang up on the parents with, like, you're really alone there. Two, I mean, there's nothing wrong with two. And then upwards of three, I'm a little bit like, will I even remember their names? If my dad is calling me by the dog's name now, what would it be like if my parents had four children? You know, how many kids do you want?
Ideally, obviously. It's a complicated question because you have to think about like the finances of it and like.
Oh, I'm not thinking about finances. If I'm thinking about finances, I'm talking about zero kids.
Right? That's what's so crazy about it. And like, I have three brothers, so there's four of us, and on no planet do I want four children. I do not want four children. I don't know how my parents did it. I don't know how any parents do more than one. My older brother has two kids, and it already seems like a lot. And so I think three is gorgeous. I think my ideal and realistic is two, which is kind of like your toxic trait is wanting what your parents have. Matt has a sister, and so we're kind of going what he have, which is I think we want an older boy and a younger girl,
right?
Which again is controversial because like we kind of could pick if we do the surrogate route, but like
we're at
that's
the point.
Neither.
We are ultimately playing The Sims now.
Ultimately playing The Sims, and it's like there's that search party scene in this most recent season where like John Early and Jeffrey Self go to.
Yep.
John Waters, and they're like, one eye's blue, one eye's brown. But like, I actually, that part makes me feel gross, but I do think if we can financially do it, I think two kids would be great. I would hope in the next few years would be great. Because I really find it amazing when people have children when they're older. I think it's like, you know what, you're living a full life and you're having your children. But then again, do I want to be Andy Cohen at, I don't know how old he is, but Anderson Cooper.
I think 50. I'm totally with you. I'm also of the mindset of like, another thing that scares me about getting older is I'm like, what if my kids fucking suck? You know, what if I cannot stand my children and they cannot stand me? I really don't want to be in that situation. I have a great relationship with my parents. I have a great relationship with my siblings. But, and that's another thing about like, you know, genetically selecting your child. I feel like if I'm doing that and then I have a shitty kid, it's totally my fucking fault.
Who do we blame, babe? You. Yeah. It's really tough. I think ultimately we can only let the universe do her job and let our kids be as cool as they're going to be. Because I think our kids, I don't see a world where like you, Nick, have a child that just like fucking sucks. I don't see that. If you're a single parent, your child's not going to suck. Maybe your partner sucks and like your child gets more of your partner's things. But I don't think you're going to be, you're not going to be with a partner that sucks unless you have really bad taste in men. Do you?
Yeah, sometimes I do. Well, that's another thing is that like I'm not even close to having a toxic child yet because I haven't found my toxic partner, so we gotta get there first.
First comes the toxic partner. What would you say when you date is the number one toxic trait that you unfortunately tend to find in a lot of the guys that you date?
It's been a while since I've like been in a real relationship. You know, I'm for the first time in a very long time, I'm finally like depression and enjoying that and like actually having feelings for someone, which is has been rare to me. It's been a while, but I'd say in my past relationships, kind of the red flag was always I'm a giver. I'm mm-hmm. always there for people. I really unfortunately, one of my own bad traits is, you know, and it's a good thing for the people around me, but not as much for myself. It's like I'd so much rather that they were doing okay than I was doing okay. So in that, it's like I find people who are willing to take advantage of that and like get little in return. And then in getting little in return, I don't speak about it. And then I just like spiral about it and allow them to kind of completely control our lives, their lives, mm-hmm. and then just kind of have me as a side piece. And I'm just like, yes, this is amazing. I love you. And meanwhile, I have become a shell of myself.
Yeah, cut to 10 months later and you're like, your friends are awkward when your boyfriend comes up and you are depressed. And yeah, I mean, listen, I think that's more relatable than we know. There's a reason why you date until you find the person, because clearly each person before didn't work out. And then what's on top of that, which is like, I shouldn't even say because here we are talking about the fun of dating. But like what was triggering for me, was hard for me was when I did start dating Matt and it became like more of a long-term thing, I was like, what if this is another person in line that's we're not going to work out. And then you just have to trust that they are going to work out. Whichever way you cut it, it's tough.
Well, and that's also another, I'd say another part of like, now that I'm like jumping back into it and like really getting to know someone and enjoying it, it's like, especially as I've gotten older and there have been more toxic relationships in the past. It's now whereas I used to have this like whateverness to it all and just like, let's see what happens. Now it's like, am I even allowing myself to enjoy it as much as I possibly could? Because I'm so fearful of that thing happening again, that it's like, well, what if I waste all these months and then I find that out again? And it's like, no girl, just like dive in again, just do it again, but just be better at looking out for those red flags. Because another thing was that I did see those red flags early on in those relationships. I just didn't do anything about it.
You know what, Nick? Spot on. That you are speaking to my soul, because you know what that is? That is just being present and then trusting your gut as you are being. Because listen, I was on a walk with Matt Olive an hour ago and I was spiraling in my head about one thing into the next. And like, I found myself for like a total like 1.5 blocks just like thinking about, okay, like this gig and then this money and then this, what does this mean? And the boo, 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 boo. And then Matt said something. I was like, oh my God, I was letting my anxiety spiral so deep. I wasn't thinking about like who I was with and what I'm doing. And I think that it applies to dating of just like, if you're enjoying the moment, you're enjoying the goddamn moment. And then if the red flag's coming up, you say, the wind's blowing and I'm seeing a flag of flying. And then you address, does the flag come down? What can we do with this analogy with the flag? Do we cut the flag down? Do we,
burn the flag?
We burn the flag? Is that going to be good?
I mean, it's always an option. We go back to Salem, we burn the flag.
Do we go to Salem? I mean, God, exactly. But you know what? I have to say, this podcast is so lucky to have you on. I've been such a fan of yours, and I could talk to you for another million hours, but we got to move to our first official question of this podcast that I have to ask you. It's contractually obligated to say, Nick, who do you blame for making you gay? Whose fault is it?
It's a little controversial, and there is more to a story, but it is Jesus Christ's fault.
I'm letting it sink in. I'm really taking the time to let this settle. Jesus.
This is true. You can ask any of my family members. It's how they all knew that I was gay from like 3+. It was Jesus Christ.
I'm wondering if I should ask, like, this is like a 20 questions game where I'm like, is it because of this? Is it because of this? Or I'm going to ask one question before you tell me why it's Jesus. Is it because you one time were like, who's that hot guy? Is he single? And it turns out it was a naked man on a cross?
That's exactly what it was. As I've mentioned in this, my father's Jewish, my mom is Irish Catholic, South Side of Chicago. So I have a big Catholic side of the family. I have great aunts who are nuns, you know, a lot of Catholic teachers in there, whatever. Great, amazing, so close with all of them. Most fun people in the world. But we always would step into any church. Like my grandma would always take us into a church. So I come from, you know, I'm a Jew, but my mom's Catholic, whatever. And I was raised Jewish, but still there was like that very Catholic side of the family, culturally, religiously. So we would always go into churches, always, with my grandma. She'd always be like, let's light a candle for, you know, this great grandmother who passed, this, whatever, blah, blah. And from like the moment that I could speak on, my aunts would always bring me, my grandma would always bring me into these churches. And I would always just be like, Jesus is so handsome. It's like, as a child,
what age is this happening?
From 3 to like, I started realizing not to be calling Jesus handsome because it might out me, you know. I think it was like 3 to like 7.
Oh my God. I don't know why that almost makes me emotional.
So I loved going into churches.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, look, the ripple, the pecs. I mean, there's a little bit of a chest hair going down to his happy trail with that gorgeous skirt.
He's front and center. You know, all eyes are on him. Everyone's like worshiping this man. He's ripped. He's got like, you know, it's one of the only men I've ever been interested with long hair. And and, you know, it's like colorful. It's up there. It's beautiful. And like all these people are worshiping him. And I don't know anything about even what I'm really saying, but all I can really say is like, I want to go to the church because I want to see the other Jesus. And there are so many iterations of him and he looks so different in each church.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you get to see like a new, I guess like paparazzi picture of how good this man is looking in every new church.
A new take on the body. There's thick Jesus. Right, you're giving his hair has layers. Jesus with a bob. Right. Can you imagine Jesus with a gorgeous bob?
Oh my God. I mean, I definitely can. There is a church now where that is happening, but you know, it's also so funny because like my Jewish father who's raising me, you know, I'm going to Hebrew school. I'm getting bar mitzvah. And my dad is like, my son's homosexuality is making him Catholic. You know, it's like that is he's turning layered. Catholic, which really confusing there. That's really difficult to wrap your head around. But no, I mean, that's my mom, my aunts, my grandma. They were all like, you know, once the conversation came up, they're like, we knew you were gay because you literally had a crush on Jesus Christ.
as a 4-year-old, you wanted to fuck Jesus. I mean, there's so many parts of the story that speak to me because, you know what, you are the living, breathing example of like a really cool person that was exposed to multiple religions. And also like, it seems like your family has an awesome, I mean, the fact that your nun relatives were like, we knew you were gay when you thought Jesus was handsome. Like that's iconic, and that word is overused, but it really is.
Right.
And I think ultimately when Matt and I have kids, like I am Jewish and he is not, and he's Catholic. Mm-hmm. So it's just really like, I'm finding this is so interesting because I ultimately want our kids to be bar mitzvahed, you know, have the Jewish stuff. But of course, Christmas is a sleigh. Yeah. We love a tree.
Absolutely. Yes. No, absolutely. And that was enough. There is a proper way to do it. It's so funny because when my parents got married in the 80s, people were like, I remember they got asked to be on Oprah to be like an interfaith like panel.
Shut
because it was
up.
Just like, I mean, it's these like two white people, like it's just like the most unimportant thing happening,
right?
And they want to have like a Catholic woman and a Jewish man come and speak about how their relationship is working because so many couples separated and whatnot. And it was like obvious, by the way, of course, my mom's mom was like very Catholic and really was very hurt that her grandchildren were not being raised Catholic. And my dad's Jewish mother, of course, wanted her grandchildren to be Jewish. But, you know, and there were, you know, many conversations and there have been a lot of issues and whatnot. But my family is very big. We're very close. And I don't think that at least for us as children, it wasn't very difficult because we kind of just like did it all. Mm-hmm. And I didn't feel like I was being tugged away one way or the other. And now I wouldn't consider myself a very religious person, but I kind of like that I was getting it all. I was like, I get a Christmas tree and I get to go see Jesus. And then I also get to light the candles and have a bar mitzvah and it's Nick at night. I mean, like I literally won the jackpot.
What more could a girl want?
Right.
Did you growing up, did your mom know any of the Hebrew prayers? Like what was her relationship to the any Jewish stuff? Did she go to shul?
So no, my mom, it was, you know, she would come to the high holidays with us and we weren't going to temple that often. It wasn't like, I wasn't raised like very Jewish. My dad, I feel like my dad, you know, he went to temple a good amount, but he didn't really start really going until his father passed. You know, he reconnected with his Judaism there. Mm-hmm. And like culturally, we were a very Jewish family, like lots of Shabbats and stuff like that. But, you know, my mom participated, but it was not, you know, and she was in my bar mitzvah, of course, but it wasn't, she would, you know, I didn't really think much about this, but like she picked up on the prayers, she knew what was going on there. And of course, you know, but then like we would go to church on Christmas Eve. And that was basically maybe also Easter we would go, just because, you know, we went with our bigger families and whatnot. And I just remember always being like, when people would go up for the little snack for the communion, I was my dad was always like putting his hand on my chest, because I was like, I want that wafer. That looks delicious.
I want that wafer.
And I was like, you also know I'm gonna want that wine too. I was like, and also like when people would like sit pray on the pew, I would always, I wanted to participate. I was like, this is a party, it's fun, I want to be involved. And it was always just like, no, you can't do that.
That's enough for you.
And it was funny, but I blacked it all out, but I didn't find it to be difficult at all. If anything, I just thought it was kind of just like hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately it's whatever we treat it to be. And like, it sounds like your parents are incredible. That just like their kids were doing what they were doing, and there was like not a judgment of either tradition or what it was. And I do think, though, that we can't talk about this without asking the next logical question, which is, if Jesus walked up to you into a bar, do you want to top him or get fucked by Jesus?
Oh, my God. I mean, I guess if I were younger, bottom, but I think now as an adult, I'd be like, you know what you did. You know you did. You made me this way, so I would have to talk to Jesus.
Yeah, you would take him. This probably sounds religious. If anybody is Christian listening to this, but I'm just having a full fan fiction of like telling him to stand up from the cross, turn around, bend down and touch
you know
the
it's out there. Yeah, you know, there's like so many old Tumblr posts about people doing this. I mean, I can't be the only person who was staring at Jesus. And by the way, I wasn't like an altar boy. I wasn't at church that much. And if Jesus is catching my eye when I'm going into a church once or twice a year as a child, I mean, I can't imagine how much people are looking at him on other days.
I mean, honestly, I'm going to be doing some sort of poll in some way of asking if at any point you wanted to fuck Jesus in your life. I think we might be onto something here. And I think that Catholicism is actually working against itself by putting a gorgeous, ripped, long-haired man.
A gorgeous, ripped man. It's, you know, I can't help it, you know?
And then saying that you're not allowed to be gay, like, sis.
Right. It's similar to, like, seeing, like, ripped male underwear models, like when you're, you know, 4 years old in Target, like it's there. I'm gonna look. Maybe I'll sneak away to take an extra peek, but like my eyes do not deceive me. There it is.
True. You know what's interesting is I think when we were growing up, I think that hairless muscle, I think, was the thing. Mm-hmm. Of course, the Abercrombie bags, 100%. And I think, of course, the Calvin Klein packaging, and
even Fruit of the Loom.
Fruit of the Loom. I'm thinking Chad Michael Murray types. I'm thinking just, you know, but I think, I don't know if it's because I'm on the older side of TikTok or like the Twitter porn that is leaning more mature, but I feel like hair on bodies is actually more okay now. Do you think I'm making that up?
No, I don't think you're making that up. And by the way, I have like very hairy legs. I have
gorgeous beard.
But I have like no chest hair whatsoever. And I wish I did, because I think hair is so sexy. It's so great. But you are so right. It was like the Channing Tatum, like full, like no leg hair, no nothing. Mm-hmm. It was just like kind of like a sea creature type of deal. And I do think now that there are, it is, hair is definitely out there more. It's more appreciated, right? As it should be.
I wonder if high school students now, like, for me, it was, I was just so embarrassed to have body hair in high school, and I would like do anything I could to remove it. And I wonder if it's like a embarrassment still, or is it like kind of cool? I know it's, not that I'm going to ask a 17-year-old, like, so, Harry Chaz, how do we feel about it? But like, at some, maybe
we should just ask the cast of Euphoria, obviously.
I mean, I keep thinking about the cast of Euphoria. I'm like, because also, I'm literally one episode in, but like, is Nate the like really
Nate? Like, yeah,
I would have, you know, simultaneously obsessed over him and then felt horrible myself if I was a teenager watching that, because he is kind of, he's pretty hairless. I mean, he's got like,
he's hairless. I can tell you even more in season 2, he's hairless. There's nothing there. He just got nipples, and I think he has like a really nice birthmark, and you're just kind of like,
yeah,
sure, absolutely.
I noticed the birthmark. I was like, I wonder how it tastes. For sure. Can I ask another question? Because you have a really incredible moment on your TikTok that has you at an Ariana Grande concert, and then it's a video of you fully freaking out. And then your caption is that Ariana Grande laughed at you from your screaming. Uh-huh. And I think, if I'm being honest, that the reaction that as you're watching the video is you're kind of like, okay, I mean, yeah, people scream at the concerts, and like, she was close, but I don't know, was she actually laughing? And then you do a full other angle, and then you hear her actually singing, and she 100% does a chuckle.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I love my girl Ari, and you know, I know every word, and it was, I had known, you know, it was kind of like a surprise type of thing where like our friend got these tickets, and we didn't really know what the situation was going to be. We knew that it was going to be like close, but how close, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, oh my God, I'm wearing an Ariana Grande sweatshirt.
Yes.
And we get there, and you know, they're like, follow us this way. And then we're front row center. I mean, we are the front row. It is right there. I'm already losing my mind before it begins. Yeah. And then, so for the whole concert, she basically is like there with her dancers and stuff. And I as much, you know, people forget at concerts, but I was losing my goddamn mind. I was screaming. I was convulsing. I was jumping up and down. I was screaming the lyrics in her face kind of thing. And so there were multiple times throughout that. And she would like grab my hand. There's another video of her like trying to sing NASA, and she's just like cackling. Because it was out of control. And it meant so much to me, but I also felt bad because I couldn't stop myself from distracting her during her performance for Staples Center. But I really felt like it was just a performance for me. It was incredibly self-centered, but it was
just you and her in a little room and 50,000 of her closest friends. You know what? One of my regrets in life is that I haven't gone to more concerts like that. And once I went to Beyonce's Formation tour, I, you know, famously get nervous spending anything above $10. And so we were in the literal like fourth to last row. It was a stadium in Queens in New York. And it was still a religious experience to me. Mm-hmm. So all this to say, if I was in the front row of Ariana Grande and I felt that being 300 rows back at Beyonce, I cannot imagine the energy that comes out of her. I mean, I watched the documentary of Ariana Grande's concert thing on Netflix, and I was like, she is the moment, and she, the level of talent and her like being an ally to the gays, and I mean, she screamed faggot and I was okay with it, and I think that not a ton of people can do that. What did she say?
She says she's in Vegas, and she says, "Vegas, let me make some noise," but it sounds like, "Faggots, let me make some noise."
Oh my gosh, she's not saying faggots.
By the way, no, she's saying Vegas. She says like, "Vegas."
I thought it was faggots until this moment.
No. She goes, "Vegas." But she, you know, she does it in her like breathy whatever. And so it sounds like faggots.
I'm like sweating because I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed.
No. So many people think it is faggots, but I prefer.
Why did I think Ariana Grande would scream faggots to a stadium? Why was that an okay
Because her brother, is Frankie Grande. And because there are people like me in the front row trying to rip her head off.
She's like, I earned this. Oh my God. Yeah, I'm such a fucking idiot. Faggots, let me. Of course, she's saying Vegas. Jesus. Yeah. She's like, repped by a huge label. Like, can you imagine? You know, that interview that there's like Kate Blanchett and there's a question about like gays and it's G A Z E, but she thinks that they're saying G A Y S.
Oh, yeah. And then she does the gaze and she puts her like, she flicks her hand forward.
Exactly. I was like, Kate, like that is a similar moment where I was like, you know what? If fucking Vin Diesel did a wrist motion to signal the gaze, I'd be like, jail, you're canceled. Mm-hmm. But Kate Blanchett can do whatever she fucking wants.
No, that's the thing is that even if with the Ariana thing, when there are people like, wait, is that what she actually said? I'm like, I hope she did because she's allowed to. She has earned that.
I'm honestly kind of disappointed that she didn't say that.
Yeah. Well, maybe one day. But she, I mean, if for some reason Ariana Grande is listening, you have my permission.
Can you imagine? I'm sure, you know what? Yeah. I'm sure Frankie's going to send this to her. And then Do you think when Ariana is promoting the Wicked film, I can during her press junket she'll come on That's a Gay Ass Podcast?
I mean, I hope so. I you know what? I'll DM her. If you scroll through my DMs with her, it's just 500 things of me messaging her and never once getting her response.
Not yet, but
also like it's like the delusion that I still keep messaging her as she's going to respond. So I will ask her. I just can't promise she'll respond.
Sure. I appreciate that. And I think this might be the one. Are you going to see Wicked in theaters when it comes out?
I'm not, you know, I was never, I know this may surprise you, I was never like a big musical theater guy. I went to Northwestern for theater and I love musicals. I love seeing musicals, but like I can sing along to like three musicals maybe.
Which one? Give me one.
You're gonna die. Okay, it's Rent.
Yes, come on, that's great.
Yeah, Rent, I can sing along to a good amount of some of Wicked. Hamilton, I'm like the worst.
Nick,
oh, Spring Awakening. Cannot... Yeah,
listen, these are all really good. I would only be annoyed if you said you could sing along to Cats and that's it. I'd be like, okay, yeah. We can do a little better. But
yeah.
Spring Awakening was big for me. Yeah. And
Spring Awakening, I think it's like, I'm like, it's the best musical soundtrack. I know four musical soundtracks, but I mean, I loved it. But I will of course see Wicked in theaters. I love Cynthia Erivo, but of course I love Ariana Grande. Ariana Grande could be in like, I don't know. She could be in like the Emoji Movie, like these 7, and I would see it just because she's in it.
Emoji Movie 7 in theaters July 28th. I can't wait. So let's move on to a question. Yeah, exactly. You know, since we are talking about some powerful women here, a very important podcast question, which is, if the world was ending and you could only save one character actress, who would it be?
Catherine Hahn.
It is such a good answer.
I love her so much. I was just listening to her on a podcast. I've seen like everything she's in. And also that's another person where I will watch anything she's in. And it's always something entirely different. She's just, even in stuff like Anchorman and Step Brothers.
Yes.
But then you got like, Transparent. And I know this much is true. She's about to be in Knives Out 2. Like,
I forgot about that.
Yeah. When they were putting out Knives Out 2 cast releases, I was like, okay, they're literally just like every single person's in this except for me. But Catherine Hahn, I was like, great. Hell yeah. There we go. I'm so in. Absolutely. Please.
I don't know why. I think like there are so many things right now that like have such a gay sensibility. Maybe it's because like there's more gays in positions of power to make things.
Right,
but like,
execs, yeah.
I feel like Knives Out 2 is going to be so gay. I feel like White Lotus, of course, like to put ass eating on screen. Mm-hmm. We were watching Watch What Happens Live recently and Lucas Gage was on and he was talking about how the ass eating scene came up that he...
Yep.
They were saying, you know, like, okay, they were supposed to just have sex, but then what if they got some ass eating in there? And I think that it was, dare I say, a pivotal moment for cinema, for media have
and
a
everyone
daddy.
Was talking about it.
Oh my God, they were. And like, what if we're being honest, what I would give to have Murray Bartlett eat my ass.
Yeah, exactly. That's if anything I saw, and I know Lucas out here, he's such a sweetheart, but I literally was like, I every single time I see him, I'm like,
How much, what's it like?
Kind of. Oh my God. I mean, it is such an honor, but you know, I love that we went from Catherine Hahn to Murray Bartlett's eating ass, but it's because she could do it too. She could have been the ass, she could have been the beard, she could have been Murray, she could have been any of it. She could do anything.
Starring Catherine Hahn as the ass that gets eaten out.
Yeah.
And then she just winks to the camera.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I guess I really did go from A to.
Oh my God. But no, I mean, I appreciate it. And she also like, she went to the same theater program as me. So I'm like, maybe one day I could do one thing that she's done. But even doing that is, you know, that would be a reach.
Oh, I can see it 100%. You, and I also, if Murray Bartlett asked you out on a date, would you say yes?
I would jump at the opportunity.
Where do you go? What's the venue like?
Oh God. So he's not choosing?
No, you're choosing. He's like, come on, okay. I know this town like the back of my hand. I've been everywhere. I want you to go somewhere you want to go to.
I'm not into like super bougie, that kind of stuff. So I think I would do like a little, there's like this cute place near me, which we always love, something near me.
Of course.
Called Electric Owl, which it's like, you just get a little booth and you get a drink and they have good food if you want it. The vibes are nice. Everyone's really sweet. And, you know, maybe a couple people would see that I was on a date with Murray Bartlett.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, I would, because I'm not going to be able to take a picture of him. So someone else is going to need to do that of us, you know, because there's no guarantee that we're going to get married and have three kids together. But I think something chill like that, you know, something, or what, imagine if I was like, I want to take him to see the water show at the Grove.
and it's the worst date of his life.
Yeah, he's like, I've seen this before, and I have three movies playing right now with me and all of them. What are you doing here? But I would jump at the opportunity. He seems like
I would really risk it all for Murray Bartlett. I think talking about like Harry, talking about I have a daddy thing. It really, he checks off all the boxes.
Right.
Well, listen, I want to make sure to, before we say goodbye, I want to ask a really important question that I didn't prep you on, because I think that it really kind of separates the men from the boys here. But I would say that if you had to choose, what is the best Whoopi Goldberg film?
I feel like there's only one right answer, which is Sister Act 2.
Thank you. And that is correct.
Take off your robes. I mean, joyful. I mean, every single part of that movie, I have downloaded pre all the soundtracks and everything. Joyful. I work out to joyful all the time.
Me too.
Joyful. Lord, we adore thee. And in my life,
I put number 40 because it's almost a youngster. I came to know.
That you want the only way to go. Yeah, no. That, like, again, and there you go. There's the Jesus Christ in it for me. I mean, it always comes back to
I'm down
Jesus
with G-O-D.
Christ.
Yeah, you know me. We're down with G-O-D.
When I reference Sister Act 2 and people haven't seen it, I have a good friend. I have a best friend who I almost cut off because of that. But now, of course, she knows all about it. I saw there was that horrible, I mean, you know, there was that day on Twitter where everyone was doing the CDC. The CDC now recommends this, CDC. And it was like, there were some really funny ones. And then like within 24 hours, you were like, literally, this is just so overblown. The one that someone sent me after I was over it that I loved was the CDC says you can now take off your robes. And I was like, okay, that one, it won. But yeah, I think that's the correct answer. And of course, I'm sure other people have great answers because Whoopi Goldberg's amazing, but I will never, ever deviate from Sister Act 2.
You know what's crazy is that we have recently put out the Bo and Yang episode, and we didn't get into it too much at the end, but he said Rat Race as the Whoopi Goldberg is the best film, which no one has said before.
I remember my dad bringing that home on VHS. I watched that movie a lot. She's great in that. A lot of fun characters in that. Sister Act 2 just means so much to me. And also anyone who says Sister Act 1 is better is just incorrect.
Well, talking about cutting off your friends, one of my closest friends had never seen the Sister Acts, and he watched Sister Act. He watched both, and he said that he preferred one. And I was like, I think I'm going to forget about this.
You got to Eternal Sunshine that moment. Just block it out, because you might not be able to move past that with that friend.
Not at all. I don't think so. It never happened, and I will pretend that for the rest of my life. I do want to say that Rat Race, one of the lines that my brothers still quote is, "Come on, Dad, I'm prairie dogging." What does that mean? You know, a prairie dog, where the dog sticks his head in and out of the hole. Oh, it's like he has to shit in the backseat, which I guess is more about my family's sense of humor than anything else. Which is
ultimately, it also can be brought back to being a homosexual, which you shouldn't tell people. By the way, you should not tell people.
What, connecting poop to being gay?
No, that you're gay, but that too.
And it all comes back to TaskRabbit.
Yes, well, exactly.
Nick, this hour has flown by. I'm so grateful you came on That's the Gayest Podcast. Do you have anything you want to promote? Where can people follow you?
You can find me on all social media. I'm Instagram, Nick Lehman, TikTok and Twitter, Nick Stop Talking. I'm always around. I'll always be in your face, and I apologize for it.
And we're so grateful for you for that. Nick, you're a star, and we will see you soon.
See you soon. Thank you. I had a great time.
Friend of the Pod Production.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell, and if you know my husband Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Bye-bye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.